Hey there, budgeteers. Are you ready to unlock the power of each payday and take control of your finances like a boss? Introducing the Payday Power Planner from New Money Habits. This isn't your average budgeting tool. Oh no. With the Payday Power Planner, you'll harness the unique rhythm of your paychecks to supercharge your financial game. Say goodbye to the confusion of monthly budgets and hello to the clarity of every payday. You'll know exactly when money is coming in and when it's going out, giving you the edge you need to stay on top of your finances. But that's not all. With the Payday Power Planner, you'll easily spot whether you're rocking a surplus or facing a deficit. Armed with this knowledge, you'll make informed decisions that set you up for financial success. It's time to transform your relationship with money and create the new money habits you need to achieve financial freedom. Get your hands on the Payday Power Planner from New Money Habits today and start making every dollar count. Don't let financial stress hold you back. Create a better plan for your money and seize the power of your pay period and thrive with the Payday Power Planner. Visit newmoneyhabits.com now to grab your free copy and unleash your financial potential. On this episode of the New Money Habits podcast, we're going to answer the question, is there such a thing as good debt? Discuss how to manage debt wisely and look at what the Bible has to say about it. What's up, budgeteers, and welcome to the New Money Habits podcast. I'm your host and one of the co-founders of New Money Habits, Coach Nino Villa. And today on the New Money Habits podcast, we're going to answer once and for all whether there's such a thing as good debt, discuss how to manage the debt you do have wisely, and look at God's word for sound financial advice. If you have any questions, be sure to hit us up on social at New Money Habits. And follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to listen to your podcasts. If you want to help out the show, consider leaving a 5-star rating and review. We cannot thank you enough for leaving those 5-star ratings and reviews. They truly help us to spread this message of hope to people looking for a better plan for their money. Now let's get into today's episode. So is there such a thing as good debt? I think the easy answer here is no, but let's redefine debt. I think the more difficult answer is there necessary debt? Or maybe the better question is there manageable debt? And when you think about whether or not debt is necessary, there are a couple of purchases that come to mind when you think about how else am I going to acquire it if I don't take out debt? And the first one that comes to mind is buying a house. Now, there are plenty of times when people save up enough money to buy a home with cash. That is becoming more and more difficult for the average American to do. Let's take a look a little bit at the home buying history and just even what it means to have a mortgage. You know, the first United States commercial bank came on the scene in the late 1700s. But it really wasn't until the 1940s and the 1950s when mortgages as we know them today, became commonplace. And so borrowing money to buy a home is relatively new. And now that borrowing money to buy a home is commonplace, we see that home prices have absolutely skyrocketed over the last 70 years. And so many of us turn to mortgages to become homeowners. And so is it necessary? Maybe not 100% necessary. It is very, very close to being an absolute must to borrow money in order to afford to buy a home. But I think the better question is that debt manageable? Now, if you take out a mortgage under the right terms, yeah, it can be incredibly manageable. And so it's not necessarily good debt, but it's manageable debt. And if you're looking for some guidelines around, well, how do I keep a mortgage manageable, especially in today's economy where we see interest rates rising, we have seen home prices double, if not triple and quadruple over the last 5 years. And so how do you make taking out a mortgage manageable? Well, I'll give you the same advice my dad gave me when I was just a wee lad. He said, son, make in 1 week what your rent or mortgage is for the month. And so that's a pretty good standard to live by. And so it means if you're making $50,000 a year, that's about $1,000 a week. And so your rent or mortgage shouldn't be more than $1,000 a month. And now you might be saying, yeah, where am I going to rent or buy a home for $1,000 a month? You know, if you're a two-income household and each of you are making $50,000, now you're talking more along the lines of $2,000 a month. And so your rent or mortgage should be equivalent to what you're making. You know, that'll keep it very manageable and give you a lot of cushion to take care of your other expenses and your other needs. Now, truth be told, banks will approve you for far more than what equates to be 25% of your pay. But if you want a comfortable mortgage and something you feel like you can afford and provides you with enough cushion, then our recommendation is, again, make in 1 week what your rent or mortgage is for the month. And if you're out there home shopping and you're wondering how much can you truly afford, know that historically, the ratio of income to house has been 2-1 up until 2019. In 2019, the ratio has gotten really out of whack. But before 2019, since the 1940s and 50s up to 2019, the income to house ratio was about 2-1. So if you were making $50,000 a year, you wouldn't spend more than $100,000 on a home. If you were making $100,000 a year, you wouldn't spend more than $200,000 on a home. Now, I understand in the last 5 years, that ratio has actually tripled. It is not only has it gone from 2-1 to 3-1, it's now to almost 4-1. And so banks will approve you for 3-1 or almost 4-1, meaning if you make $100,000 a year, they'll approve you for almost $400,000 home. But you are really going to struggle to make that mortgage payment, especially with interest rates the way they are right now. And so if you can afford, if you're in an area where you can find something that's more to that 2-1, maybe even 3-1. 3-1 will still get you close enough. It'd be more than 25% of your take-home pay every month. It'll be around 30%, but that is still very manageable. So if you can go 3-1, if you're making $100,000, you don't want to spend more than $300,000 on a house. If you're making $50,000 a year, it means you can only afford something that's about $150,000. And I understand that in many markets, you're not going to even find anything for $150,000. And so it may mean looking in a completely different area of the country. It may mean starting up a side hustle or doing something else. But when you're really thinking about the debt that you're about to take on, because this all goes back to whether or not there's good debt. And I'll tell you right now, if you take on a mortgage that is 3 or 4 times your annual income, that is some bad debt, because you are going to struggle to make those mortgage payments. And so I wouldn't call a 2-1 ratio good debt. I would call it manageable debt. And I think there are other types of debt that, again, are not necessary, because I don't know that any debt is truly necessary, but there are debts that are manageable. Another example of a manageable debt would be 0% financing. Now, I know that there are gurus out there that will tell you that same as cash is, you know, just a facade, and it's just a gimmick, and it's just a way to get you into payments. I will tell you, when managed well, and when you pay off the 0% financing, it can be incredibly helpful. Now, it's dangerous. But it's only dangerous if you're not managing your money well. If you're managing your money well and all of a sudden you need car repairs and the car repair company is offering, you know, 6 months or 12 months, 0% financing, you betcha I'm going to borrow somebody else's money. I'm going to make the repair to the car, and I'm going to make sure that I pay off that line of credit before the promotional financing is over. In fact, I'm one payment away from doing just that. I had some work done 6 months ago, and I'm one payment away from paying that off interest-free, and it allowed me to stay liquid while I was focused on some other things, and this expense just kind of came up out of the blue. And so I would not encourage those who don't manage their money well to get 0% financing, because once that 0% is done and over with, they'll charge you north of 22, 25, as much as 30% interest on the entire balance that from the beginning when you finance. So you have to pay that balance off, but 0% financing can be very manageable debt. Low interest loans also. When I first started financial coaching, I was a stickler for no new debt. You don't take out loans ever. And then I found myself in a position where I had to replace a car, and I had the money in the bank in order to just pay for the car. But I wanted to finance it first because I had heard that you'll get a better deal, like price-wise, on the car itself if you allow them to finance it. And then if I financed it and then paid it off a month later, I wouldn't have paid any interest, or maybe very, 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 very small amount of interest, but I would have gotten a better deal on the car itself. So I went, we replaced the car, bought a car for $15,000, let them finance it at, it was either 0.99% or 1.99%. But it wasn't the percentage that really opened my eyes to low interest loans. When I got the paperwork and it said, if you make all of the regular 60 payments, 5 years on this loan, you will have paid back $16,700. So I was borrowing $15,000 and I would have paid back $16,700. So for 5 years, it would have cost me $1,700 to use somebody else's money, while the purchasing power of those dollars was going down. So low interest loans, when you look at how much money is it going to cost me to borrow somebody else's money, may actually be a manageable debt. A lot of people saw this when interest rates on mortgages got really, really low. They could refinance, they could borrow that money at 3% or less. And so all of a sudden, the cost of borrowing somebody else's money went way, way down. I have a couple that I work with. We refinanced. Well, I always use the royal we. They refinanced when interest rates were at the lowest, and they refinanced at 1.75%. And I tell you, it completely changes the dynamic of how you manage that debt. Of course, they can make their mortgage payment. They have a surplus every month that they wanted to pay it off early. And actually, as we crunched the numbers and calculated it down, if they would send an extra $1,000 a month to their mortgage, they would only have saved themselves 10 months and approximately somewhere between $8,000 and $10,000 in interest. Because the interest rate is just so low, they just weren't going to gain a lot of headway by paying it off early. So why, over the next 15 years, take that $1,000, $12,000 a year for 15 years and just kind of sink it into the house, when they could take that $12,000 a year and reposition it to acquire other assets and other income producing streams of income? So there is a such thing as manageable debt. We're getting to a point in time where we are so close to being near there is necessary debt, meaning it's very difficult to buy a home with cash anymore. And so while there's manageable debt and there's necessary debt or quasi-necessary debt, I would still say, no, there's no such thing as good debt. But when we can manage these things properly, we can turn debt into something that's not completely horrible. So that brings me to the next thing I want to talk about, which is how to manage debt wisely. And so we're going to take out debt from time to time. We're going to take out debt for different reasons, but how can we manage the debt we do have and the debt that we take wisely? Well, first and foremost, as I shared with the story about buying the car, I would tell you to have the cash to pay for the things you want on hand. Now, again, that might be hard when it comes to buying a home. But when it comes to buying things like the latest gadget, the newest toy, if even when you want to travel, and I do this, I have a number of different clients who have all established travel funds, because what we do is we make sure that we've saved up money throughout the course of the year so that when they travel, they can use a credit card to pay for purchases like airfare and lodging, but they have the cash on hand to pay for the things that they want. And so even if they're taking out debt, because using a credit card is still taking out debt, they already have the cash on hand to eliminate that debt immediately. Which brings me to another point about credit cards and how to manage debt wisely. Credit cards are simply a financial tool. One financial tool in your toolbox. And I want you to think about a carpenter for a moment. A carpenter needs a number of different tools in order to build a house. He needs a hammer. He needs a nail gun. He needs a circular saw. And some of these tools are very easy to use and are not very dangerous at all, while other tools are incredibly dangerous. And if they're misused, there could be permanent injury. Well, a credit card is just a financial tool. It is a very dangerous tool, but that doesn't mean we should keep ourselves from learning how to manage that tool. In fact, it's all the more reason to understand the tool, know how to use the tool, so we can use it wisely without getting hurt. So I go back to that example of my clients who have travel funds. They have travel funds. We put money in it every single paycheck so that when they want to travel, they can turn to the credit card and make purchases quick. And so a credit card is a great way to secure all of those purchases quickly without depleting your liquidity in that travel fund as you're figuring things out, because travel plans do change as well. And so when we know how to use the financial tool wisely, then that's all it is. It's a financial tool that allows us to be a little bit more secure. Another reason I like for my clients to purchase airfare, hotel, car rental, all of those things on a credit card rather than a debit card linked to the account that they have the money in, is because they're putting somebody else's money at risk. They're putting the bank's money at risk. If there's fraud, if there's a double charge, if something happens, it's somebody else's money, and the banks seem to be incredibly quick to fix the problem when it's their money. When you put your own money at risk via the way of a debit card, now if there is fraud or an incidental overcharge or double charge or something like that, well, now your cash is actually gone, and getting it back from the bank, it takes a process. You know, it might not take too long, but there's still a process, and you're still out those funds until this situation is rectified. And so we're going to take out debt. It's going to happen. How we manage our debt matters. And so using 0% financing or low interest loans, using credit cards when we already have the cash on hand to pay for the things that we want to buy, these are all ways that we can manage debt wisely, keep it manageable, and use the financial tools that we have at our disposal. Hey there, budgeteers. Are you tired of feeling like your finances are running the show? Well, it's time to flip the script and take charge of your money with New Money Habits Financial Coaching. This isn't your typical financial advice. New Money Habits is about empowering you with the knowledge and tools you need to make savvy money moves and build a solid financial foundation. Here's the deal. We're offering a free discovery session to kickstart your journey to financial freedom. Yep, you heard me right. Free. In this session, one of our experienced coaches will help you to pinpoint your financial goals and create a better plan for your money. We're talking about mastering your money mindset, picking up practical money management skills, and having someone to hold you accountable along the way. So, if you're ready to kiss financial stress goodbye and say hello to a brighter financial future, then schedule your free session today to create the new money habits you need to achieve financial freedom. Now, what does the Bible have to say about debt? Let's start off with a very clear message. Debt is not a sin. There is a stern warning that comes with debt, and I hope that you've heard to this point, I've been giving a stern warning about debt as well, that we shouldn't be taking out debt just to take out debt, but that we should be doing it wisely. It should be manageable, even in the rare case that it might be necessary. But there is a stern warning that God's word provides to us about debt. And we can find that in Proverbs 22:7. King Solomon reminds us that the rich rule over the poor and that the borrower is servant to the lender. So does that mean you can never borrow money? No, but it comes again with that stern warning that when you do borrow money, you are beholden to the lender. So the lender gets to make up all of the terms, all of the rules. I'm not sure how many people know that a bank can call your mortgage note at any moment. So they get to determine the terms of the agreement, and they're in complete control. Now, luckily for us, most of us don't ever experience a bank calling our mortgage early. And sometimes it just means that another bank will take up our mortgage. But the principle is still there, that we don't get to determine how to pay it back. The lender gets to determine the terms of that loan. And so there's a stern warning. And I pray each of us heeds that stern warning. And I'll be the first to admit, I have made my share of mistakes when it comes to borrowing money. I borrowed money to pay for school when I was working for a university that was paying my tuition. And so I have learned a tough, tough lesson about taking on debt, especially debt that was unnecessary. And so this warning, I pray earnestly we all would heed this warning. There are other places within God's word where we learn about lending. So in the books of Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy, where we find the law, there are guidelines for lending. So this tells us that lending is going to take place, borrowing is going to take place, and there are guidelines for that. And again, it circles back to that warning that King Solomon provides in Proverbs that the borrower is servant to the lender. And then there's a call for each of us to pay back what we borrow. And so it's just a good practice, a righteous principle that if you're going to borrow money, that you would pay it back. And so like the student loans, I am not thrilled with my student loans. I'm not thrilled that I still owe money and that I owed money to begin with. But I made a decision. I took out the debt. I borrowed when I shouldn't have. And now I'm learning a very valuable lesson about the importance of being more discerning and more wise with my borrowing decisions. And so we are called to pay back what we borrow. And we learn this in Psalms 37:21, where it says that the wicked borrows and does not repay. And so, again, what does God's word have to say about debt? It gives us a stern warning about how, as borrowers, we will be servant to the lender. There are guidelines for lending and borrowing, and we are called to pay back what we borrow. And so this is a righteous and wise way in which to manage debt. I would, and I do, when I sit down with clients, I tell them to avoid debt as much as possible. There are times, though, where we have strategically taken out debt to accomplish some type of goal, whether that is, I work with a couple who acquired a property. That property, they acquired it very, very inexpensively, but it needed repairs in order to make it a income-producing asset. And so strategically, we borrowed in order to get it to a place where it could produce a stream of income. And so another example is I have a young couple who just bought a home, and of course they've taken out debt for that. But again, under these guidelines of making it manageable. And in the meantime, as they furnished the home with some appliances, we did that on zero interest financing on purpose to help them keep their peace of mind fund liquid while they got settled in the home. But here we are maybe 2 months later, and we're already talking about how to pay off the 18 months, same as cash, 2-3 months later. And so there are just a couple of examples of how you can actually use debt wisely. Again, I wouldn't call it good. I'd stop short of calling it necessary, but I would say, yes, there is manageable debt. That does it for this episode of the New Money Habits Podcast. Remember, if you have any questions, make sure to hit us up on social at New Money Habits and follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Please consider leaving a 5-star rating and review to help us spread this message of hope to people looking for a better plan for their money.